Hi everyone, this is Rigger J, and it's October 4th, and I'm on the way to Columbus, Ohio to see friends. So, what I'd like to talk about is photography, rope, events, and model releases. There's a lot of expectations around what rights a person has, and ownership around a photo, and I'd like to clarify a whole bunch of that. First thing I do want to say is, I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on TV, and I definitely would take this as guidelines, and the laws where you are may be different than what I'm discussing, but for the most part, this is how it is in North America. So, let's talk about the act of taking a photo. So, in front of me is a tied up person. I have lit them in many different angles, and I've had a conversation with them. They know I'm taking a photo. So I take the photo. I have created a piece of art. Me. The art is not the person in the photo, how they're tied up, how they're lit is not the art. The art is the digital image I created, the individual pixels on it, and how I chose to set the camera for that photo. The person in the photo is not the art, which is a really hard thing for people to wrap their brains around. Because yes, what they are and how they've held themselves is a form of art, but the piece of art I created by pressing the photo is not the same piece of art. They have absolutely no ownership on the photo. I just took a picture and I have copyright for it. The person in the photo has a bunch of rights, but not a right to the photo. Now, let's say I was too busy and I had a rigger come along and did rope for me. They have absolutely no rights in this whatsoever. They nothing. Done. Anyone in the photo will have a bunch of rights, but the fact that someone tied someone up and the photo was taken, that rigger is meaningless. And this is coming from a guy who does rope and photography. The model has a bunch of rights, and the rights come around not to the photo, but how the photo gets used. But they still have no right to the photo. Yeah, I'm going to repeat that a bunch during this. No rights to the photo. Just because you're in it does not give you the right to share and disseminate the photo. You're not the owner of that content. But how that photo gets used, you have rights as the model in the photo. The rights are typically around three basic concepts. They are the right to privacy, a right around defamation, and not being misrepresented. So let's change the scenario. We're going to talk about, I am with my partner. They are naked. We're in bed. I'm partially tying them up. We're having a great time. And I pull out my camera. By the way, it doesn't matter the quality of the camera. This can be an iPhone, or this could be a $5,000 mirrorless, all the bells and whistles camera. The quality of the machinery used to take the photo has zero implications. So I take a photo, and now we have some issues. There's some expectations that were built around here. This is obviously done in a heat of the moment, non-manufactured moment, bit of photography. So if I was to go post those photos online, I am guilty of an invasion of privacy. If I share them out there. You know, that's where the revenge porn law comes in. But let's change the scenario again. It is a studio set. There is specialty lights, background, etc. We are taking photos. You're obviously posing. You are obviously agreeing and know that this is a photography moment that is in that is being taken for the purposes of creating photos, which inherently have the concept of being shared. Yes, you could still argue on the right of privacy. I think you'd have a lot harder time winning a case against someone who published those photos than you would over to some stuff from the bedroom. Context is king, especially when it comes into the legal aspect. But again, you have no rights to the photo. You have a right around how the photo gets shared or disseminated. And if you had a third-party rigger that came in to do the rope for the photo shoot, I mean, they have zero rights. They have nothing. Unless they're in the photo, they have nothing. I mean, it's like saying Nike could come by because you happen to see a little bit of a Nike swoosh, so Nike can object to the photo. Some porn movies, just to protect themselves, just in case, will cover products, because at that point they could get hit with slander and misrepresentation. But, you know, if it's just rope, which is unidentifiable, yes, there's techniques, but anyone can do it. It's not like a trademarked logo. The rigger has no rights, and it's sort of funny when they try and exert them, because they look really foolish when they do it. The next context is like a defamation context. So let's just take a different photo. Let's change the photo subject again. It's a person sitting on the side of the street eating a sausage. And they're holding the sausage up, and they're just about to take a bite out of the sausage. I can take that photo and post that anywhere I want. Anywhere I want, because there's no invasion of privacy. You happen to be sitting on a front step, so you're out in public. There's no context, there's no narrative added to your photo, so... yeah, you have no say, and like that's for most street photography. I can take that photo, I could print it and publish it in a book and earn money off that photo because it's in a book, and you would have no say. You have no rights there. But now I take that photo and I write, "This person loves to deep throat that dirty whatever," right? You know, you throw some... well, now I'm starting to misrepresent them. And that's where slander starts to come into play. And so that photo, by putting it online with, like, meme stuff around it, I'm opening myself up to a slander lawsuit. So that's pretty bad. And then you get a little further along, and I take your photo, and I use that photo for an Oscar Mayer ad. They pay me money for it. And now you are endorsing Oscar Mayer. Well, that is a problem also. And you could go after the company that is using you for misrepresentation and don't endorse. I mean, you see that all the time with artists and music and stuff, where a politician uses some music as a theme song, the artist doesn't support that art, and they go, no, you don't get to use it. It's the same kind of context there. So, as a model, as a subject of a photo, you have some rights, but you got no rights to the photo, and I hate to say that. And that's where model releases come into play, because without a model release, the usage of it is very limited, especially if we're talking about erotic and sexual nature, because that one becomes a battle around, a right to privacy and stuff like that. And, is it revenge porn? The model release, that's an agreement between you and the photographer, or the photographer and the model, that sets up expectations and rights to use. My own model release, which you can get to through my writings on FetLife/RiggerJ, basically says, one, you're over the age of 18, that the content is most likely of a sexual nature, most likely of a explicit sexual nature, is most likely of a bondage BDSM nature, and that you accept that and you give me all the rights to the photo. I can do whatever the hell I want. I then, when in negotiating with the model, add in notes like no face posted on public sites, meaning, or, and we kind of clarify, because I tell them, you know, and they go, oh, well, check with me on the photos. I cannot do a, I need to check with you on posting. 10 years from now, when I have that photo, I'm not going to be able to ask you about it. And so the model release sets all those expectations. Sometimes you actually need a model release for private locations, because they're sort of basically corporate entities, or they're basically entities. So if you're shooting a photo in front of a very, on a private property, in front of a very unique facility, and you have a nude, you technically are opening yourself up to kind of a defamation lawsuit, because you don't have the rights to the photo. And really though, that really only becomes a problem in a commercial context. I am selling the photos, rights to be used in advertising and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people that think they have rights because they're in a photo, and they don't. That's one of the reasons why events will create a model release. I don't sign them. I don't let my... It's a double standard. It's just because I know what's going on. I won't sign model releases for events, because they can take that photo and do whatever you want with it. If you go, always read the model release you're given. If you go to an event, you work with a photographer, and they give you a model release to sign, read it. Because odds are, you just signed away 100% of your rights to complain about how that photo gets used. So, yeah, you've just entered a contract. And I wish people would take the time more. When I, you know, the contract I use has a ton of legalese, so I look at the model and I say to them, before they read it, I go, I own this photos when I take them. I can do whatever I want with them. I tell them how I typically use it, but I emphasize, I could take your photo and put it on a 900 number. I have that right. It's not what I do, but I have the right. Just to, I actually scare them a little bit intentionally, so they stop and think about what they're signing. But yeah, the idea that, like, you know, you see, start seeing these photo credits on photos, right? The model, that's the most common credit, of course. And other times you see some really good marketing. Wrote by Moko Jute. And I love that he got that put in place. It's funny, I actually see people get upset when they go, well, whose rope is that? That he really caused a culture of crediting the rope. Crediting the rigger is totally not even, you know, I shrug at that and I'm in the photo. Or it's my work. Optional. I mean, not even needed. I actually don't, for myself, 9 times out of 10, unless the model specifically wants it, I don't credit models, because all that does is cause creepers. And 9 times out of 10, the models don't want the crediting because of the creepers. Or they just, I take some fairly explicit photos and they want that anonymity. And that's what goes in as an addendum on our model release, is that you won't post my face. These unique tattoos will not go online. And that's great. But yeah, the subject of the photo has no right to the photo, but they do have some rights around usage. The inanimate objects, no matter how they got there in the photo, they have no rights. The rope has no rights. The person who tied the rope, there's no rights. Nothing. And it's really naive to think that you do. I hope that helps clarify, just gives you a better context to when you agree to get your photo taken, or just when you get your photo taken, what it actually means. And if you have any deeper questions, I definitely, if you need to get into some legal advice, see a lawyer. When do you need a model release is a very common Google item, and you can get a lot more details there. So anyway, thank you for listening to me rant a little. And if you have any questions and comments, you can get me at Instagram/RiggerJ, FetLife/RiggerJ, Twitter/RiggerJ_photo. And as long as it's still up, key on kick, you can get me at RiggerJ. Anyway, take care and have a great day.